Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Like anyone's relationship talk at the Thanksgiving dinner table, it's about to get messy in Milwaukee, and I am here for it. I am way too damn messy with all of that nonsense. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show. Penn's Oil Performance Line. And Jhené, we left everyone yesterday saying we're going to wait and see the outcome of a Giannis-less Bucks team going up against the Miami Heat. And we saw while they fought, ultimately, two tired teams ended up sending the Heat on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And now Milwaukee, they get to sit around searching for answers this morning and start answering those uncomfortable questions about will or won't Giannis be a part of their long-term plans.
A game with plenty of implications outside of even the game that we were watching, which was interesting. Giannis, we heard what he said, and I think we'll play that very soon. He's giving off all the feelers and vibes of, hey, I'm a loyal guy. And I'd like to put that into context just because this is a guy that has his brother on the team. And if you watched the game last night, the Bucks fought. But no one was invested more than Giannis in their success, even though he wasn't playing. He was standing up the entire time. He was cheering. He was leaning on the side. You know, what do you call those things? Like those sideline?
I think it's like a banister.
Like a side banister that's like LED lights. He was pounding on that. He was so invested. He was trying to do the most to show that he wants to be out there, but he can't, and he still wants his team to win. So if you see a guy like that and you hear what he said after, the likelihood is that, hey, this is a guy that really wants to still be there. The questions are, you can be faced with a supermax contract very soon. Your contract runs out after next season. That's where the hype machine starts working, especially based on the expectations that they didn't deliver in the postseason. That's the number one question we had from the number one team in the NBA and the number one player. And it's sad and it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to play in those outcomes. But now I think we see where his intentions truly lie, given that he was in a bubble. He was with his family. He was with his team. It sounds like he likes Milwaukee. But the reality is they have to win. That's the number one factor to keep Giannis there.
It can sound like everything in here. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it can sound like this. Giannis, you mentioned, talked and said all the right things. And Jhené, it just feels like one of those situations where we hear this time and time again, whether it's from college players who know they're going to turn pro, who say, well, listen, I got another year of eligibility and I can come back and be a part of everything going on here, when you know good and damn well that ain't the case. But this was Giannis after the game talking about loyalty and building something in Milwaukee.
Hopefully we can learn from this and get better as a team and come back and hopefully we can build a culture in Milwaukee that for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
And Jhené, I feel like culture is one of those amorphous buzzwords that we use in sports to cover up when we don't know what else to say. Like, we all look down at the Miami Heat and say, well, culture is Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, who have been there and won a lot of things in all of this. For Milwaukee, that culture is we're trying to put as many things around Giannis as we can so he doesn't realize that there are greener pastures elsewhere.
Well, that's where it is now. Where it was before is we have a culture of winning, and now we're realizing in the regular season, and we have issues with the postseason, and we don't want to have a bigger issue with our star if we don't take this moment and use it with a sense of urgency. For so long, you know, even going into, I feel like, the NBA season, especially the postseason into the bubble, our eyes were on Giannis. The pressure was on Giannis. Well, now it seems like, and it sort of feels like, it's flipped. The pressure is on the Bucks organization. We're like, is Giannis good enough of a talent to deliver a championship? Well, injuries are the part of the game that you can't control. But more importantly, also, the contract situation has a lot of implications. So it's going to be interesting to see how Milwaukee sort of recalibrates their roster moving forward, because that is the best way, as I sort of alluded to yesterday, to audition for him to stay. All of the teammates, all the supporting cast are going to be the people that literally are auditioning for Giannis to stay in Milwaukee. He's saying the right things, but you know what we say here in the streets? Talk is cheap. Like, you can say what you want, but what we're looking for are tangible things like trophies and rings, right?
Well, and I guess this is my thought process looking at this, because when we talk about building something around there, do we think Milwaukee's going to be able to lure another superstar over there potentially?
That is a question.
Onto this team? Because my thought process, you mentioned, Giannis has 1 year left on that deal. If you're another star in this league at a destination that, no offense to them, is more desirable for you to be outside in life than Milwaukee, why would you be willing to pay a premium for something that's about to go on sale? Like, if you just wait around for a year, all of a sudden the Giannis Sweeks picks is going to get a little more interesting and a little more appealing for you when he can be mobile and get to the place that you're at. So I just don't know if there's enough incentive for people looking at a situation right now where everyone knows Milwaukee's got to prove it. So why are you about to latch onto that for any amount of time?
And that is the added challenge. Like, it's funny. I woke up, and you know how you say wake up trending? Like, who's waking up trending? And yesterday it was an infamous Odell Beckham for funny reasons. Today it was Chris Paul, because people had started putting out the idea that Chris Paul could be someone that, you know, he's already been in a smaller market this year, has shown his value. They need a young guard. They need a guard, but I mean, this guy's still playing like a young guard, still an all-star in year, what, like 12 or so? Chris Paul was the name that's been floating around, but I think that highlights the bigger point here. Giannis can't do it alone. Chris Middleton is a star, but is he that big of a star that you can be trusting in the whole next few years type of tag team? I think we got that answer. Like, he has plenty of potential, but they need more. And so now, seeing how Milwaukee chooses to add more or to recalibrate or reconfigure their team, that is their best bet at keeping Giannis, because Giannis, he's saying the right things. Now they're on the clock, and they will have to do something with what he's saying.
And it's going to be interesting. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. How they go about trying to do this, and our own Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and said it's going to be a tough road ahead for Milwaukee to make the kind of changes they need.
I think you probably want to maybe take a step back and figure out what went wrong, not just this year, but last year in the playoffs. And if it's the head coach, or if it's, do we have to move pieces around? That's kind of where I would take that approach there. But, you know, some of these contracts they just signed with Chris Middleton, he's owed $147 million, and Eric Bledsoe's got $50 million plus, and Brooke has, you know, a ton of money still coming. Not easy to move around there.
And Shanae, wasn't that kind of the story of last offseason with Milwaukee, where there were no wild swings or great moves or overtures to try and ensure that you were going to make something different happen? And so what's the definition of insanity but doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, whether it's with the coach or trying to move parts of their roster around for change? You've got to do something, because just showing up next year and saying, well, look how good we've been in the regular season with our back-to-back MVP, surely things will change. That can't be the way.
Yeah, it's not. And I think there's a lot of pressure. They'll have to, one, take accountability, and that's including Coach Budenholzer, because it just was not the way. I think people are now looking at his seasons and his tenures in the postseason. It's like, okay, what's gonna be the major adjustment here? We can't just have Giannis play on the outside. That's probably not to his strength. I think Stephen A. brought up it was Greeny. He brought up a really interesting fact about how Giannis is like 169th in the percentile of jump shooters. Like, this is not his strength. How do you coach and put him in a position to be better? Also, Chris Middleton, we just heard it from Bobby Marks. He's a guy that really showed potentials, flashes of potentials, but he's older. This is the same organization that got rid of or chose not to retain Malcolm Brogdon, who's a young guy who has shown a lot of promise and a lot of people thought could have been a game-changing type of defining player for them that could have held it down in a way when they're injured. You know, there's an injury to Giannis and he sort of has to find a boost. Like, these are the decisions that they're being held accountable for. And now I think moving forward, it's about that youth. It's about that chemistry. It's about that synergy. And more so, it's the belief that Giannis thinks this is a place where I can win. You have to sell that fact to Giannis, but also you have to deliver on that as well.
And I always talk about this. There are relative problems, Chinee, relative to everyone's stage in life, wherever you are at financially, work-wise. But there are still problems that come along with it. And Milwaukee, I'm sure years ago, couldn't have imagined that being a number one seed and having the best record in the NBA could all of a sudden come with so many problems. But when you get one of the warrior elite in this league, you're graded on a different curve than everybody else. Chinee and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's our guest list today. We got Caroline Wozniacki coming up here in just a couple of minutes, former tennis star. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders going to join us at 4:30, help preview the NFL action coming up this week, coming up tomorrow, along with Laura Rutledge at 5:30, one of our great hosts from NFL Live here on ESPN. If you miss any of those guests, you can listen to both hours of the show on demand in the ESPN app. But coming up next, today we had a milestone marker. Serena Williams gets her 100th career win at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Coming up next, we'll talk to someone who knows all about staring across the court and seeing the GOAT in action. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. And Chinay, we have spent a lot of this week talking about some legends of the game, and we want to discuss another one coming up here in just a second. But we've also spent a lot of time talking about athletes getting paid, and Jalen Ramsey, good Lord Almighty, becomes a $100 million man for the Los Angeles Rams. He signs a five-year, $105 million contract. And you just read this to me, and my jaw is still on the floor during the break yet again. $71.2 million guaranteed.
Okay, it's guaranteed, but are we still trying to figure out if this is true that it was guaranteed at signing? This is guaranteed at once.
I'm reading it on ESPN.com. Lindsay Theory, our fine ESPN NFL reporter, covers the Rams, does such a great job for us. And I'm reading off.com. He becomes the first defensive back in NFL history to sign a deal worth over $100 million, and his $71.2 million at signing is the largest guarantee for a defensive back.
So you love to see it in football. You absolutely love to see it. But that chunk of change at once, like, how do you even handle your mind around that?
Well, and there was really no other option for Los Angeles either, right, when you move the kind of capital to bring him over. And
yeah,
we've talked to Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office insider, for years, and this happened in Houston when they brought Laremy Tunsil over. When you give up first-round picks for a guy of that caliber to bring over, you're basically sliding them a blank check and saying, listen, we know what this is going to take. And thankfully for him now, he's living in Los Angeles, so he's going to be able to afford all that real estate like you.
Oh, my real estate? Man, let me get like that, okay? Let me get like that. I do know that the price tags here are very, very high. And depending on your marital status, it is even higher of the percentage that gets taken out. So he will need every one of those dollars. But, I mean, to see that happen all at once, and it makes sense, especially with his talent. 25 years old, three-time, I think, Pro Bowl selection already. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to see him get paid.
It is damn good, damn impressive, and we are certainly happy to see it. We are also happy to be joined by right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by former tennis star Caroline Wozniacki with us on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Caroline, we really appreciate your time today. It's been exciting to watch what's been going on at the U.S. Open and exciting to watch Serena Williams continuing to add to an historic legacy. Got her 100th career win at Arthur Ashe Stadium, and as someone that's gone toe-to-toe with her before, what is that like? What kind of competitor are you facing even each and every time you take the court against Serena?
Well, Serena is the greatest of all time. You know, she's won 23 Grand Slams. She's won so many tournaments. She's really paved the way for so many tennis players over so many years. So it's great to see her fighting out there. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't always been her best game. But when she's needed to, she's really stepped it up. She's played well. She's fought. And she found a way to win, which is the most important thing, and I'm really happy to see her do so well, and I'm really proud of her for, you know, just fighting literally every single ball, every single point. She really wants this, and I hope that she will go the whole way.
And she now advances to her 11th straight semifinal at the U.S. Open, and we know what she's chasing. And I'm curious, she turns 39 in 3 weeks. We've seen her struggles late in tournaments ever since she's come back in this most recent round. Do you think she ultimately gets to that historic 24 mark for Grand Slam titles?
I hope so. I mean, you know, she puts herself in a great position for so many tournaments in a row. So I think, you know, eventually it has to be her turn, and all she can do is do her best and, you know, take it one match at a time. She has two more left, and, you know, I really believe that she can do it. Obviously, it's not going to be easy. There's some great players left, but I think she can do it, and I hope she can do it.
Here with Caroline Wozniacki, former professional tennis player, and of course, I, as a female athlete, have been a huge fan of you and your game. And one thing I love seeing is the solidarity amongst women. I know Serena is a talented player, a competitor, but you guys are also friends. What have you been able to experience with Serena the last few years? Because I know there have been struggles later in tournaments, but at the same time, she has overcome so many different odds, especially joining, you know, motherhood, the ranks of motherhood. What have you seen behind the scenes with Serena?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I think it changes, obviously, a person when you become a mother. It's not all about you. It's not all about just the tennis. And I think for her having Olympia, I think it changed her life and for the better. And, you know, she's the best mom. She's an unbelievable tennis player. And I think trying to find a way to juggle both for the first couple of years, it's not easy, but you know, she's so great at what she does. She's such an amazing tennis player. I think it's only a matter of time before she lifts that 24th Grand Slam title. And as I was saying before, I think she's been so close so many times. It's about to be her turn, I believe.
And Caroline, speaking of Serena playing for more than just one purpose, we know motherhood matters to her, but also we see a lot of athletes, including Naomi Osaka, using this time, her platform, to, you know, advocate for social justice. How have you seen the tennis stars sort of join the fold in ranks of other, you know, sports and other leagues during this time?
I'm very happy and very proud to see that. We obviously saw all the other sports joining and raising awareness and doing their part. And so, you know, I think the tennis community, and especially Naomi, stood up for what is right and what we believe in. And it's all about, you know, getting a better world for everybody. And so I'm very proud that the tennis community is coming together and also sharing solidarity with, you know, every other athlete and every other person who believes in the good, and changes need to be made.
Talking to Caroline Wozniacki with us again, former tennis star on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line here on Chinay and Golic Jr. And Caroline, one of the other bits of news that we saw coming out of the Open on the men's side with Novak Djokovic and what happened, him hitting a ball recklessly during a match that ultimately struck one of the ball girls. And in this situation, he was ultimately sent out of the tournament. I'm curious, that disqualification, did you think it was warranted as the with the rules as you know them? Was that the right decision at that point in time?
Absolutely. I think with the rules, as we know them, if a ball goes straight and it hits a line person or a ball person in the face or anywhere close, it hit her in the neck or in the throat. And, you know, I'm just happy that she's okay, but it absolutely is the right decision according to the rules. I don't believe that Novak meant to do that. It was an accident, but you know what? With the rules being the way they are, there was no other choice to be made. And I think Novak will definitely learn from that and will not do that again.
Speaking of learning, you're doing a great job giving out a lot of really helpful and important information with Advantage Hers. What can you tell us about the Advantage Hers campaign and what that means to you?
It means a lot to me because I get resources from attorneys.
Up, and unfortunate timing right there. We seem to have lost connection with Caroline at this point in time period. I would love to say we can get her connection back. Would love to hear about the work that she's doing with Advantage Hers and that information. You can check it out at AdvantageHers.com and learn more about the work that Caroline is helping to do there. And again, a lot of great insight and perspective there from someone who has faced down Serena Williams, who has been a part of these big-time stages. And we will see if we can get her back and give her a chance to fill everyone in on everything that's going on with that cause that's certainly near and dear to her. But coming up next, if we don't get Caroline back in time, we are going to take a look at some football, a Super Bowl contender that everyone's sleeping on and someone who's got the numbers to back up that claim. We will get to that after this word from DraftKings. See, to kick off football season, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is giving new users a free shot at a $1 million top prize with a total of $3 million up for grabs this Thursday's football contest. Yeah, we're playing football on Thursday. That's tomorrow. Yeehaw. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. And for a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss the extra special week one bonus. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Why the word sexy belongs in Pittsburgh this year. Back after this, it's Chinay and Golic Jr.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
One more sleep. That's all we need. That's all it's going to take, Chinay, before your Houston Texans take the field. Well, one
Let's
of your many
go.
Teams at this point.
Wait. Why are you trying to put many teams like you put many people on me, okay? We don't like that count. I've got the Texans, and I've got the Patriots, and then a dash of the Cardinals.
See, there's a lot of side piece action going on around here at this point.
But I'm still, I mean, if you don't have a ring, which the Texans don't, then why should I make a choice? Right? We still play in the field.
They managed to throw money and get the affection of their quarterback, Deshaun Watson. It takes real hardware to win Chinay Agumake here. It is Chinay Agumake Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And we're delighted now as we get ready for the NFL season. There is the one place I always turn. You can check out and still get the Football Outsiders Almanac. It's available at footballoutsiders.com. And Aaron Schatz joins us now, courtesy of Football Outsiders, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Aaron, we made it. The NFL is back tomorrow night. How you feeling, boss?
Oh, it feels so good that we're actually ready to do this after so many months of not knowing. I cannot tell you how many times I started the conversations with the phrase, if we play a season, but it looks like we're really going to play a season, or at least start one.
And we are going to start one, and so it's only right, Aaron, that we start at the finish. And we know everyone is certainly looking at you guys and the work that you do to try and see, at this point, the way you're projecting it out, who does Football Outsiders look at and have in the Super Bowl when this is all said and done, God willing?
Well, we've got two teams ahead of pretty much everyone else. I mean, we've got Baltimore as sort of team number three, but the two teams we have ahead of everybody else is New Orleans and Kansas City. So that is our Super Bowl pick, New Orleans and Kansas City. Kansas City is the best offense in the game. New Orleans is just a really well-rounded team in all phases of the game with a strong amount of depth.
That makes plenty of sense. But, you know, we're starting with last year and thinking about last year's Super Bowl, obviously the Chiefs and Niners. When you think about the Chiefs, we know where they belong, the echelon of their talent. But how do you grade the Niners going into the season?
So we are a little bit out on our own here. We're a little down on the Niners compared to everyone else. It's not that they're a bad team. They're a good team. But we don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. We've got our Football Outsiders stats going back 35 years. And in 35 years, the 49ers last year were the first team that ever improved by 20% on both sides of the ball. That is a lot of improvement. And usually when you take a big jump up like that, you're going to fall back a little bit in the third year. So we think the 49ers are going to come back to earth a little bit, and they're going to kind of be in the wild card race, not in the division title Super Bowl race.
So, Aaron, if that's the case, if we've got one going out, and you said the Saints, who everyone, they've been up near the top for a number of years now, who's the team that maybe you guys are more bullish on than most, that you look in the situation and could fill that void, or at the very least challenge overall at that Super Bowl level?
I think a big one is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had one of the best defenses in the league last year and the worst offense in the league. And it doesn't take Ben Roethlisberger to be the Ben Roethlisberger of old. He just has to be average. If he's an average quarterback, that's a huge upgrade on what they had on offense last year. And suddenly they become a Super Bowl contender, although it's hard when Baltimore is in the same division as they are.
Now, Aaron, sticking with the quarterback conversation, a lot of eyes will be on New England, rightfully so. This is a team that had tremendous success in the past, but also has a new QB. So, you know, we're all intrigued by the new version of Cam Newton and his Patriot offense, but what do you see in their defense that could really be impactful this season?
They lost so many people. Here's the problem. First of all, interceptions are really inconsistent from year to year. The Patriots' defense was so heavily dependent on interceptions, especially in the first half of last year. But also, when you look at the amount of talent that they lost more talent over replacement level on defense than any other defense going back to 2003, and that was before Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung opted out. When you add in the opt-outs, they are way beyond any other defense we've seen in the last 20 years as far as how much talent they've lost from year to year. So I think New England's defense, not only is it not going to be the best in the league, I'm betting it's going to be below average this year. So that's actually a lot for Cam Newton to have to make up.
And Aaron, I'm curious, we're talking to Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders. Again, the Football Outsiders Almanac is still available at footballoutsiders.com. Be sure to check that out. You mentioned Cam Newton and that offense. How difficult is it to try and factor in what he's capable of at this point based on the last couple of seasons, the injuries, and just the differences coming from Carolina to now working with Josh McDaniels in that offense in New England?
Yeah, everything in, you know, projecting football, projecting sports is about a range of possibilities, but the range is pretty large for the Patriots because, first of all, it's hard to figure out what a quarterback's going to do with a new team anyway, because how much of what he did on his old team was him and how much was his teammate. But when you add into that just the injuries that Cam Newton has had, he was so good in the first half of 2018, so bad in the second half of 2018, and then 2019 pretty much didn't happen. it's hard to figure out what you get from him. Eventually, what we end up with is sort of projecting him as an average quarterback, which actually isn't that far below what Tom Brady was for the Patriots last year, partly because of the lack of weapons that he had around him.
Now, Aaron, you know, one of the big storylines this week was Adrian Peterson, and also we found out that he landed in Detroit with the Lions. What impact do you think AP has immediately on that organization?
I don't think he has a lot of impact because, you know, he's going to just be one of a number of running backs. But we like the Lions this year anyway for other reasons. The big reason is Matthew Stafford was really good in the first half of last year before he got injured. They were 3-4-1 when he got hurt and then lost 8 straight. We think they're going to be a lot closer to that 3-4-1 team than they are to the team that went 0-8 with backup quarterbacks. And since we think Green Bay and Minnesota are going to be down a bit from where they were last year, the whole NFC North is just like a big muddled mess. And Detroit has just as good a chance as anybody else to actually come out of that thing with a division title.
Oh, Aaron, music to my ears because I have joined Mina Kimes in singing the praises of the Detroit Lions all offseason. As any actual Lions fan will tell you, that's usually a fool's errand in this situation. So I feel a lot better having you on my side in all of this one. I'm curious, Aaron, and this is just recent today. I saw you tweet about earlier, too, that adjustments are going to have to be made now. Huge loss for the Denver Broncos. Von Miller goes down with that ankle injury, going to require surgery now, and he's likely going to miss the season. I mean, how do you put into words or numbers or anything just how significant that loss of Von is for a defense and a team that we know already had an uphill battle in that division with Kansas City?
I mean, the good news, if there is any good news from this, is that one player on defense doesn't make a huge difference in projections because it's so hard to project defense anyway. Defense is just harder to project. It's more inconsistent from year to year. It's harder to predict than offenses. So all of our predictions of defense are much closer. Every prediction is closer to average. So the amount of difference that one player makes is small compared to like what a quarterback means to an offense. But if there ever was a player who was going to make an impact on defense, it's Von Miller. So I mean, we have Denver projected in last place in the AFC West, and losing Von Miller, you know, we had them kind of neck and neck with the Raiders and the Chargers before the loss of Von Miller, and losing Von Miller kind of kicks them into last place in our projections.
Aaron Schatz with us from Football Outsiders. Aaron, I guess before we let you go, it's always interesting. Obviously, you guys do so much work. There's so much time and effort that goes into all the numbers that ultimately come up with the results that you guys get. But every once in a while, I'm sure what you see and what you believe may not always match up with what you guys are getting there. So I'm curious, is there any team you're hotter on than maybe the numbers or what's happening over at Football Outsiders actually says?
Yeah, our number projections are down on Cleveland. Like, say once again that's a sub 8-8 team. But I think if you look at the talent that they have and you look at just how much they were dragged down by coaching last year and by the mess that they had at offensive tackle, and hopefully the coaching problem has been fixed with Kevin Stefanski, hopefully the offensive tackle has been fixed with new tackles on both sides of the offensive line, I think that our numbers are sort of underplaying how good the talent is on that team, particularly on offense. I think they'll be better than our numbers. I think Cleveland will have a winning season, and they'll be in that wild card race.
You can check that out. Lots to look forward to, as you mentioned, in the AFC North and the NFC North. And with, you know, hopeful, I mentioned it the other day on some show, I'm riding with you guys on Kansas City and New Orleans. Really going out on a limb on that one, I am, certainly. But good to have the numbers to back that one up. Aaron, always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Again, you can check out the Football Outsiders Almanac at footballoutsiders.com.
You want to know what's the good news?
What's that?
We got informed because today is the day of the draft, which means I'm ready.
Oh, that's right. We're loading up tonight. Spain and Fitz, our neighbors to the north. We're getting ready our fantasy draft that we're a part of with them. So you're feeling good about this one
now. I'm feeling real good.
We had Field Yates on. We got you schooled up there. We got Aaron with the numbers. We're going to be in a good spot, and we're going to take them down.
And everyone here at ESPN Radio, at Chanae321, I have the sixth pick. Who should I get? So make sure you guys hit me up with who I should pick with my sixth pick in the fantasy football draft. We have to beat Spain and Fitz.
That's the only go, because we were on a call earlier with a lot of the shows around here, and it was talking wild mess. Everyone's talking Battle Royale amongst the radio shows. And we know, at the very least, I got Jason. I can tell you guys that much. Janae and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All right, coming up next, there was a lot made on the conversation of white privilege and the hire of Steve Nash in Brooklyn. Steve Nash spoke about that very subject. We'll tell you what he had to say next on Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So one of the greatest lies usually told in most relationship is that we mutually split up. We decided it was in both of our best interests to go our separate ways. So Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Janae, I ask you, when Billy Donovan and the Oklahoma City Thunder announced that he will not be returning to the team on Tuesday, they said both parties mutually agreed to part ways. Do you believe it here?
I don't believe it. You're absolutely correct. There's always one person that's pushing more. Like, I just watched the Office episode where, Daryl was trying to break up with his girl, I forgot her name, the foreman in the warehouse.
Yep.
And he was nudging her to make her think that that was the right thing to do. I think we might see the Oklahoma City Thunder nudging Billy Donovan, saying, we might be committed to more of a rebuild. And the good thing is that he has a lot of, wait, did I get to the news? Am I spoiling what you're about to say?
Did you spoil it again for Shannon?
I might have spoiled it, but this time, not the Office. I'm talking about the actual sports news. It's not a spoiler. We all know what happens with coaches. Guys, you know, seasons end and coaches tend to be on the move.
It does. It's what tends to happen. We know Billy Donovan will not be back at Oklahoma City. And, Janae, that's an interesting one for me because I don't think that was a team that went into this season with a whole great amount of expectations. Again, like, I go back to how much changed, and it was so long ago because of the timeline of the stoppage. But when Chris Paul came over there, there was a thought that he might not even actually be playing for that team during most of that season. And so to say that, all right, like, we need really new blood in here or a new voice in that locker room right now seems like strange timing.
Yeah, it is very strange timing because if you look at the teams that overperformed the season, you can sort of maybe throw the Miami Heat in there, like overperforming now in the sense of what they're doing and what they're achieving compared to the talent level on their roster versus the rest of the NBA. Similar for OKC. Chris Paul, a lot of people thought that he was too much for certain teams, maybe too strong of a personality. Well, that's the right personality to be surrounded by young talent, developing talent, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, a lot of young guys that got tremendous opportunity and played well this year. So yeah, for Billy Donovan, it's like, look what I did. I did a great thing. But now maybe it's somewhere else that we are looking because we're trying to press reset. And we're talking about Chris Paul, too, potentially going to the Bucks. So
yeah.
This is one of those rebuilds, in my opinion, for OKC. And also, Billy Donovan will have suitors.
Oh, absolutely. So we'll see where both Billy Donovan lands and who Oklahoma City goes after and who they're actually coaching on that team. But we always talk about around here trying to decode what coaches say, trying to get through that coach speak. We got an interesting version of that today because I think someone was actually pretty straightforward. Coach speak is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it. You know, we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach speak with Janae and Golic Jr.
Now, I don't know if we need much translation here, Janae, because Steve Nash, who we know is named head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, had his introductory press conference and was pretty straight up. There was so much talk. Stephen A. had brought up the notion of white privilege, all of these things that might have gone into the hire in his mind. Steve Nash addressed that when he talked to the media, and here's what he had to say.
You know, our society has a lot of ground to make up. I'm not saying that this position was a factor as far as white privilege being a factor in this position, but like I think as white people, we have to understand like that we are served a privilege and a benefit by the color of our skin in our communities, and we have a long way to go to find equality and social and racial justice. So, you know, I hope that I'm a great ally to that cause. You know, I'm not sure that this is an example that purely fits that conversation. But I own it, and I understand why that's important to talk about it, and that we do need more diversity, more opportunity for African-American coaches.
And today you brought this up when we talked about Steve Nash to begin with, but a guy who in this situation clearly gets it and understands the forces at play, even if he doesn't agree that it happened here necessarily.
This makes me feel even better about what I was thinking initially when we first heard of the news of Steve Nash being named the Brooklyn Nets head coach. He said the words that we want to hear, especially, you know, as black people in America want to hear. I own it. I understand my privilege. And while privilege is being used when it comes to my hire, it's not necessarily such a direct line. Like, this is not necessarily the case, because the people that co-signed me being there are people that I built relationships with, people that I have developed and grown with, you know, when it comes to their talents on the floor. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the two major factors that will come to coaching in that job. And so those are two black men that understand their positions in the world. And they thought that I was the right guy for the job in this instance. So I was happy to hear exactly what Steve said. He owns it. He understands it. And he's also going to advocate for the same things that matter to those players.
And I think that's important. Someone who understands that situation. So many people think this idea of white privilege and bringing it up is an admission of guilt. No, it's an understanding of the forces that are at play in all of these situations that govern a lot of different parts in our world. And kudos to Steve Nash for addressing it immediately. That's the kind of leadership this organization is hoping for with him. But speaking of organizational issues, we're going to see if Milwaukee can figure out some of theirs around their superstar next.